Good evening. It is 6:57, and this is the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, Finance and Public Safety Committee meeting. Can we all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Can we please have the roll call?
Robin Falcioni-Smith.
Here.
George Kurtica.
Present.
Sarah Vadomsky.
Here.
The record should reflect there's a quorum present.
Thank you. Number four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. I have one addition. We're going to make this number eight. It will be the retirement clause in the paraeducator contract. And then we will make number eight adjournment number nine. And I will make that in the form of a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Robin. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, number five, public portion. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak?
I would like to speak about the tax incentive program. So,
can you state your name?
My name is Brian Hall. I'm the finance director for the city of Derby. As I've reviewed this document, I mean, certainly there's a lot of flexibility here. Anything that's approved would need to go through the Board of Alders. And Rich, you speak up if I'm incorrect. I don't really see it as very binding. I think it's more of a guide for how to negotiate some of these deals, even if somebody did have these certain levels of investment. I would just hope, I do think investment is important to try to bring in new business in the city. I think some sort of a incentive program with a structure is good, or you can end up like we have in the past where we've just given out way too many incentives and things have kind of gone rogue. So I do really like having this kind of structure and document in place, even if it's really doesn't have a lot of teeth into it and still requires a lot of approval. So I would just ask that before we consider kind of a full repeal of any kind of document like this, that we consider having some sort of changes or something to replace it with, and that we don't go back to a time where we had nothing in place and it was really kind of at a lot of other people's discretion as to how best try to bring in new investments into the city. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to speak? Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? Third and final, is there anyone from the public who would like to speak?
The only problem with being on Zoom, I don't know if there's somebody in the room. This is Karen Chemises, 25 Broad Street. How are you doing tonight?
Great, great, thank you.
I must say I am just giddy right now because I've been listening to the other meetings, and I want to thank Corporation Counsel Bertullo. His attentiveness to so much, his already knowledge that he has gained in the few months that he's been on board, I thank you. I think he deserves a raise. That being said, the raise might have to wait until after you get capital planning in order. I don't see it on your agenda. I haven't seen any special meetings coming up for capital planning. But being that your finance and public safety, I want to say that the fire department has had one engine out for service for too long. They have lost one engine that they apparently will not be replacing. And to purchase anything new is going to be 3 years out. So we are losing time here big time. We got to get capital going, even if it's just to be putting together a committee to look at trucks. Because it's going to take 6 months to a year for them to build the truck to go out to bid. So we've got to get moving. And other than that, thank you, thank you, thank you, Brian. Thank you, Attorney Bertullo, and thank you, the alderman, and most thanks to the mayor for moving the city forward. I am, like I say, giddy with the thoughts of how well everything has been going in these last few months.
Thank you, Karen. Okay, one more time. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to speak? Okay, with that, public portion is closed. Number six, approval of minutes of the February 22nd, 2024 meeting. Is there a motion? Sure. Motion made by Robin. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by George. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Okay, number seven, tax incentive ordinance, discussion and possible action on revisions to tax incentive ordinance. Brian, thank you for your comments. Just a little history for the new board members, and I know we spoke about this, that the previous board was looking to make some adjustments to this tax and business incentive program. And again, I agree, Brian, with you that, you know, we don't want anybody, you know, going rogue, you know, with this. There are some items within that we feel can be tightened up. Potential adjustments of costs of improvements that would qualify, assessments, et cetera, items added in potentially, such as if an incentive is granted and a business moves out in 5 years, there's no repercussions right now, the stating that they have to then, you know, potentially pay the tax incentives back, and that those items are in some other tax incentive ordinances in other municipalities. That being said, what I would like to do tonight is put a moratorium, not repeal this tax incentive program, but put a moratorium on it so that we can, you know, start the discussions and move forward using this as a blueprint to start and adjust as necessary until we have something in place that we feel works for both businesses coming in and the residents in the city of Derby. George, Robin, any comments on that?
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and that we should put a moratorium on. As other municipalities have different tax incentive programs that we could look at to hopefully benefit the city of Derby. So I would, if you made your motion, I would so move that we put a moratorium on the tax incentive ordinance.
I agree. I think if they were to move out within before the seventh year, then they would have to repay something, or something would have to be included, more definite, more teeth in it, as you said. But the way you put a moratorium on them, I think that's a good thing to go.
And Brian Hall, Fire Inspector. My only concern with the moratorium is that it would maybe send the wrong messaging to some of the potential investors. As I said, the board could always not approve whatever they didn't want to, even with it in place. It certainly will allow you to continue to negotiate with whoever it was that did want to bring business while you're working through the changes that you want to make to it. So, you know, that would be my only suggestion, is that I just don't know why it would be necessary, given that you could say no to anything at any time.
Okay, so I kind of agree with what you're saying, but we also have to look out for what's happened in the past here. I mean, I have no idea what tax incentives were given to Trolley Square. I have no idea what the tax incentives are given up here on Minerva Street. Is it 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? I have no idea. And if it's something like that, that's too long. You know, so it is my intention and my belief that we should put a moratorium until we look at other towns who have probably a better tax incentive program than we do. I know there's a lot of development, a lot of rumors in town about, you know, 300 units here, 200 units that somewhere else, you know. So the infrastructure, what we're going to need, it's going to cost us a lot of money here. So I believe, and the board, the committee could vote against it there, that we should put a moratorium, get a couple of different municipalities, see what we need, what we could take out, we could put in to improve the city.
George, I have to agree with you. And based on, you know, and I realize this is a different administration, but based on what had been presented to the previous board, you know, I just feel like a moratorium is the way to go right now. And then, like, let's work together as fast as possible to get this taken care of and back up in action sooner rather than later. You know, with this committee, with you, Brian, with the mayor's office, with Attorney Baturla, to see or to move it along, to get it up and running again as fast as possible. I'm certainly not looking to hold this up and drag it out for any period of time. But I do have concerns based on how this is laid out right now, and what has been presented to us historically is this or more, not less. And so that's my concern. And so I would move to put a moratorium on the tax incentive ordinance, or move to recommend to the full board a moratorium on the tax incentive ordinance. Oh, there will. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay. So I'll second that motion.
Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, number eight, the retirement clause in the paraeducator contract. I'd like to invite Brian back up to explain what's going on here.
Hey, so it's Brian Al again, finance director for City Derby. So recently it's come to my attention that in the paraeducator contracts with the Board of Education, that there is a clause that says that for all employees kind of post when they put the moratorium on the defined benefit pension plan, they said, you know, we're going to have a ability to participate a 403b plan, and that the Board of Education shall fund the 2% of members' total W-2 wages annually. So this has been in their contract for years and years and years. Unfortunately, however, these payments have not been made to any employees. And, you know, we've recently kind of become aware, because of some union representation, about this issue. And we do feel we need to rectify the situation. This is really more of a heads up to everybody about what's been going on. And that, you know, we're looking into it. We're going to try to figure out the best way to make good on this with all the employees. The city currently does have a 401a plan
whereby they contribute 2% of the members' total W-2 wages annually. So it does seem like they were attempting to somewhat mirror what was being done in the city with the paraeducators. However, the verbiage in the contract is, I will say, incorrect. I mean, a 403B is really different than a 401A. 401A, only the employer can contribute to it and not the employee. So there is likely still some contract language that has to be done and cleaned up. But, you know, it's out there. It's something we're going to be looking to address this year. There is obviously nothing in the budget. It might be as high as $150,000. So we, to make good on, you know, this is going back since 2017, right? So you've got 7 years of catch up to do. It will be probably part of the ARPA funds and, you know, and fixing the general fund. And this is going to be one of probably many items that I eventually get and have to go in front of the board to address. So, I thought it might be helpful to at least start this conversation, make folks aware. So in the coming weeks, if there are more questions or anything else we need to look at, we can do that so that when I do end up presenting to the entire board, there's no surprises. Okay. Anyone have any questions?
I have a question. Does this reflect anybody that has retired and passed away? Are we responsible for those as well, or anybody still working?
In theory, we're responsible for anyone that was employed, and per this contract, I believe you had to be, you know, you had to be working for a certain number of months, right, to be eligible for the program, and there's still a vesting period. So if you left within a certain amount of time, you're not eligible for all of the money. So, you know, we will be trying to follow best we could the existing contract. And again, you know, you're only going to become eligible based on that language. But the expectation is that we would do something with both the current active employees and former employees as well. But figuring out exactly how we're going to do that is going to be tricky, to be honest, because there's a lot of rules around retirement savings and how we address some of these things we haven't figured out yet.
So correct me if I'm wrong. 401, you put money in, your employer matches a certain percentage, correct? 403, you put your money in and there's no matching percentage by your employer. Am I correct?
In some cases, yes. You know, typically a 401k, that's how it works, right? If you, there is a defined match that you have to do in order to get your employer to put money in. However, the city does not have that. The city's plan, that the 401a is different. The city will put in 2% of your wages regardless of if you invest anything at all. So it's slightly different.
So when I was on the Board of Education, I negotiated all the contracts up there. So the 403B and the paras, they contribute whatever percentage they want, or it's nothing said in their contract that they put in there. And as you read the contract, it says that the Board of Education shall put in 2%. Every year. It doesn't say the city of Derby. It says the Board of Education. So the contract, I did the 4 years and 3 years, so 7 years. So it's probably that 2017 contract. So the way I see it, and you're the finance director, I'm not, the city isn't liable to put any money into the 403B. But the Board of Education should have put in the 2%. Every year for their employees, and that wasn't done.
I agree. I think, however, at this point, given that there was no budget, they didn't put the money in, I expect that the city will have to end up probably making good on this, and then we can talk about the go forward as far as who's going to budget this and fund this.
It's part of union contract negotiations. And as it says now, the Board of Ed shall put the 2% in, right? The city isn't responsible to put the money in unless we want to be responsible. So this all has to go through contract negotiations. As the way the contract reads now, that the Board of Education shall put in 2%. And I don't know why they didn't. You know, it shouldn't be our responsibility. So somehow, if the city wants to make a deal with the Board of Education to put some money in, that has to go through contract negotiations for a memorandum of understanding, MOU, on the paraprofessionals contract to do that. So that's just how I see it and how the contracts were negotiated when I negotiated all the contracts up there. So I think that the discussion should be held with the Board of Education of why they didn't put the 2% in every year instead of us. So right now I'm not in favor of the city putting any money into the 403B unless there's a memorandum of understanding with the paraprofessionals union.
Well, thank you for that feedback.
Brian, have there been discussions with the finance department with the Board of Ed?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been talking with them, and they're the ones that kind of brought this up to everyone's attention.
Have they been asked to fund this?
Yeah, absolutely. But they don't have any funds, right? So that's kind of where we are, right? The unions and the labor union, and they have the contract, and they're absolutely been obliged for this money and owed this money. So I think we could probably, you know, try to negotiate or figure something else out, but that's where we are, unfortunately, right?
And are those monies not included in this year's budget? Do we know roughly how much it will cost in the next budget?
Yeah, well, certainly they're not in the current budget, unfortunately, that was just passed. I know the cities usually cost around $20,000 a year that we budget. I would expect the Board of Ed's probably in a similar range, maybe $20,000-$30,000. They have a few more people. So that's probably the risk go forward. It's really the big number is obviously the catch up and sorting that out.
So my recommendation is, Madam Chair, is we have the superintendent come to our meeting along with the Board of Ed Finance Director to explain the 7 years of non-funding of the paraprofessionals 403B contract obligations.
That's fine. I did ask Dr. Conway to attend tonight. I know there was another Board of Ed education meeting, so he had a conflict, or he would have been here. But I will certainly pass that along to him.
And somebody from the paraprofessional union. That's my recommendation, Madam Chair.
So a question would be, if the Board of Ed doesn't have any money to pay this $150, does the city of Derby ultimately have to pay it? What's going to be the end result if we go through all of that and we're still going to end up having to pay for it? What's the bottom line?
Yeah, that's sort of been my perspective on it, is, you know, like I said, we could drag it out, but ultimately the city's going to end up paying for it, right? The money's not going to come from somewhere on the board of Ed. It's so.
And then just one question, Brian. I'm not sure if I'm reading this correctly. Working to update the language in the paraeducator contracts, something similar as the DPW contract, and enrolling all of the paraeducators into the city's 401A plan. So they're...
So the Board of Ed would like... They feel that the city should be funding this, and they want to change the contract so that the city funds it go forward. So that will be another thing that needs to be discussed.
So being the union person that I was, these contracts are already in place. And the only way you could open up the contract is a memorandum of understanding, MOU, between the city and the Board of Ed. Right now, I don't think we have that. So you can't open up a contract unless you have an MOU with the union and the Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I don't know how this is going to play out here.
So if I can just jump in just for a second on this, I think we should proceed with a little bit of caution here and perhaps have a further dialogue with the Board of Ed and the superintendent and the finance director. I don't think you were not asking them to do anything tonight. You're just informing them of this issue, that another surprise issue that has been brought to your attention.
Correct, because obviously the union said they want to address this as quickly as possible. Sure. You know, with the board only meeting once a month, I said, well, it was obviously on Mark's advice, let's get it in front of people, get it on folks' radar and figure out, you know, is this something we want to address with a full board next week, next month, or do we need to have other conversations in meanwhile? So
it would just be my suggestion to carry it for the time being until you can have that dialogue with the Board of Ed people to understand how this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it is their contractual obligation. It isn't the city's contractual obligation. On the other hand, they have their budget and you have your budget, but in the end, it's the city that's funding most of both sides, mm-hmm. apart from state aid for education. So having said that, I just think you need to have this dialogue with them. And they're asking us to pick up the future contributions for the paras?
Yes, they are.
Do we presently pay any of the other 403 plans or 401 plans or pension obligations of any kind for any other Board of Ed bargaining units? If you know, Brian, you may not know that.
We would be on the, for all the pension, the previous pension plan. So any of those members that were in there, the city would be paying for.
The previous plan.
Yeah. And look, I wish this was the only issue that I had with the Board of Ed as far as items that they incur that they feel the city should have budgeted or has budgeted in the past. So there are other things that I need to work through that eventually we will address. But this is a ongoing problem that I need to work with them to address, not only for this issue, but for other issues, because I can tell you there's a lot of historical, you know, challenges, I guess, with the communications between the two groups, and it's got to improve or there's going to be huge budget holes. And I wish this was the only one.
And to your point, when they have a deficit,
mm-hmm.
and that, what Brian's ultimate point was, that deficit eventually finds its way back to the city and affects the city's bottom line.
Right. And it'll hit the general fund for sure.
So it's not your legal obligation. I'm just hearing this for the first time. Mm-hmm. It's not your legal obligation. It's in their contract. They were supposed to do it. They're not doing it. Their budget is out of balance. they haven't, there's a contractual obligation that they apparently haven't met. So that's probably going to create a Board of Ed deficit at some point, unless they address it by other means, which sometimes happens. Boards can, they're not supposed to be trying to pass deficits back to the municipality. Most boards try to balance their budget and, by the end of the fiscal year. But if they can't, because they have no money and they have this obligation and it is a deficit, it comes back to hurt the city side. So
that's sort of where I was thinking it was going to go. Not necessarily that it will show up on the Board of Ed's books as a deficit, but to your point, ultimately it comes out of the general fund because the city has to fund it. So,
but I would say go slow right now because it's $150,000, yep. And perhaps could be a dialogue with the Board of Ed about are there other ways you can close that gap and fund it yourself. Just saying, I don't know if they have other means. I know they're saying they don't. Perhaps they don't. But George, you spent a lot of time.
I am. So there's a state statute under the education, and I don't have the number off of hand, but it says that the Board of Education shall provide a balanced budget, annually. I'm paraphrasing, any deficit is upon each board member. That's what the statute says. So each board member is responsible for any deficit that the Board of Education occurs. It's in the state statutes. I mean, they've always, when I was on the board, they always said, oh, you gotta sell your house, you gotta fund this, but we always came up with the money. But there's a statute that each board member is financially responsible for the budget. Any deficit they're responsible for individually as board members. I mean, I guess years ago, I was in here back in the 80s, they almost put the Board of Ed in jail, probably in the 70s or 80s, when I was told. Was it the tax board for failure to fund the, okay, thank you, Mark. Yes, I think they were a day away, weren't they, or something like that? Yeah, so they came up with the money. So I think we ought to have a dialogue with the Board of Education, Dr. Conway, his financial people, and the union. Got to get the union involved. And so the teachers are in the state teachers plan. That's their pension plan. I believe that the parents, I don't know if the custodians are in the city plan. I'm trying to remember. The nurses are not in the plan. I think they have their own. But each contract is separate. So there's seven contracts. So you would have to look at all seven to see who's in what pension plan. So in order to get the city's 401, as I said, on the pension board too, they'd have to come before us to see. But everything has to be all contractual, all MOUs between all these unions if they want to change their pension plan.
Well, yeah, and I think the one problem with the 403B is I don't believe either the Board of Ed or the city can just contribute to it. It's supposed to be only for
certain employers.
But only for employees to contribute, right, on their own behalf. Yes. Right? So it that type of plan is not structured in that way. We couldn't turn around and put 2% in it right now if we wanted.
It has to go
into the 401A. So yes, that's why I'm saying some kind of language has to change, or an agreement to your point, yes, that, okay, it says this, but we're going to do it this way.
Right. So
you would need an MOU.
Yep.
That's what George is saying, and I prefer.
So my current employer, I'm in their 403B, and that's my money I put in over the years. They didn't contribute anything. They contribute to the 401K.
Yep. And that's how the city pretty much handles, yep, it. And like I said, the Board of Ed, they've still been able to contribute into their portion of it if they wanted to. It's just the match that hasn't been occurring. Not even a match. No, I want to say that just the 2%, right, that they agreed to.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
Mark Carfalo, town clerk, observer of city government. As an observer, there have been, as the finance director said so eloquently, gaps of information, changes in administration, staffing, and the like. I would related to this issue, but also to a host of other issues. I think the mayor is owed a debt of gratitude for establishing and naming this committee, finance and public safety. And to focus on the finance, I would encourage strongly implore you and encourage you to, when, like with this issue, but the others, to please codify the policies of the city as it relates to these things, so that it's clear for everybody what the city's responsible, in this case, what the city's responsible for, what the Board of Education is responsible for, but also then those policies, because the gross abuse that happened, I don't need to revisit it, but it happened because there really aren't any financial policies in place. And there was a committee in place to begin to deal with that, with the first finance director before she was dislodged because she wasn't a puppet. Those issues were tried to be addressed, to enact policies so that the finance director, you know, has the teeth to enforce it, and that it protects the taxpayers of the city. The only way to do it is to codify it, because the previous meeting with respect to the Sterling and so forth is problematic because things were not codified. So it created a whole bunch of commotion. As well as the blight, for that matter. It was the whole evening of lack of enforcing these things. And in many cases, there's like no guidance to the staff. So when there's new staff, there's no guidance. But in particular, as it relates to the financial part of it, I would strongly encourage you to slowly and steadily over the course of your term to examine those and take the recommendations, you know, from the finance office and the things that had been brought before you before the committees were disbanded previously, to be able to do that, because it's really in our interest, so we don't revisit these issues again. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, for this item, George, you have anything else to say?
This item for discussion?
Yeah, it was just, there's no action.
There's no action on number 8. Yeah, so.
Right.
No, I agree with you.
No action. Okay, so number 9, is there a motion to adjourn?
Absolutely.
Second.
George and Robin, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, meeting ends at 7:36 p.m. Thank you so much.
Moon falls with David Hecker's testimony. We have the linchpin behind their theory.